It's good to have you here with me this morning, looking at the topic of saving faith. Our texts today are taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, John chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 6, verses 28 to 29, chapter 14, verse 6, Acts chapter 16, verse 30, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. You may read from the screen or from your personal Bible as I read the text for you. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29 reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." John chapter 1, verses 11 to 12 reads, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And you're all familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29 reads, "Then said he unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Another familiar verse, John chapter 14, verse 6, which reads, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 16, verse 30 reads, "And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 reads, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, O Father, instill in each heart a deep love for your word, that all the congregation may be grounded and rooted in the faith. Open our spiritual eyes now to see the invisible things of God, and to turn their hearts and affections heavenward, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Two men were adrift on a raft in the open sea, and it looked bad for them. Finally, one of them, frightened, began to pray, "Oh Lord, I've broken most of the commandments. I've got some pretty bad habits. I drink, I curse, I steal, I treat people like dirt. But if my life is spared now, I promise you that I'll change, that I'll never again curse, that I..." Suddenly, his friend cried out to him, "Wait, Jack! Don't go too far. I think I see another ship." "No, we should go far. We should go beyond repentance to saving faith." In last week's message and this morning's message, we are considering man's part in salvation. There are two things: repentance and faith. Having examined repentance last week, we will now examine faith. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." As we saw last week, Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. The sinner must repent toward God because it is God that he has offended by his self-will and disobedience. The sinner must put his faith in Jesus because he died for our sins. Consider three important questions about saving faith. Roman numeral 1. What is saving faith? What is saving faith? It is important to understand that saving faith is not simply believing some historical fact with one's mind. For example, we believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States, and that Hitler ruled Germany in World War II, and that Mahatma Gandhi lived in India. But such beliefs do not change the lives of those who believe. Likewise, many people believe that Jesus Christ lived long ago and that he did many wonderful things. But this belief does not change their lives. Saving faith is different from this. Letter A. Saving faith is an undivided faith. It is an undivided faith. The Bible says that Jesus is the only Lord and Savior. See John chapter 14, verse 6, and Acts chapter 4, verse 12. To be saved, I must believe that Jesus Christ alone is Lord and Savior, just as the Bible says. Some people try to add Jesus to their other gods. They want to believe in Jesus while believing in other lords as well. No one can be saved this way. Letter B. Saving faith is a trusting faith. It is a trusting faith. The word believe in the Bible means to trust, to depend upon, to commit oneself to. To be saved, a person must fully trust his soul and eternal destiny to the Lord Jesus. He must rely upon Jesus and Jesus alone to forgive his sin and make him right with God and carry him to heaven. Trusting Jesus is like trusting a boat to carry me across a lake. But it is not enough to look at the boat and to admire it. You must actually get into the boat and trust it to carry you safely to the other side. Have you trusted Jesus to take away your sin? Some people say they believe in Jesus, but they continue to go through their old religious rituals. This proves they are not truly trusting in Jesus. When we trust Jesus, we realize that we do not need any vain religious rituals for salvation. Letter C. Saving faith is a convinced faith. It is a convinced faith. To be saved, I must be fully convinced that Jesus is Lord and Savior and that He'll fulfill His promises to me. True salvation is a no-soul salvation. This is the kind of faith that Jesus' early disciples had. See Peter's testimony in John chapter 6, verses 66 to 69. This is the testimony of a genuinely saved person. We can be sure because of God's promises. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13 says, and this is the record, that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye believe on the name of the Son of God. In contrast is the so-called faith of those who say they hope they will be saved, meaning they aren't sure. Someone once said that he had 99% faith in Jesus. That isn't enough. Letter D. Saving faith is an unmixed faith. It is an unmixed faith. Saving faith cannot be mixed with human works. See Romans chapter 3, verse 24, chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, chapter 6, verse 23. Chapter 11, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. A person must receive Christ's salvation as a free gift, not as a reward for good works. A gift is something that someone else purchases and then gives to me freely. If I try to pay anything whatsoever, it is no longer a gift. Jesus is the one who purchased our salvation at great cost with his death and his blood. Are you enjoying God's free salvation in Jesus Christ? Or are you still trying to do something to earn your salvation? Letter E. Saving faith is a receiving faith. Saving faith is a receiving faith. Saving faith receives Jesus as Lord and Savior. Saving faith doesn't merely believe in Jesus as a historical person. It calls out to him and asks him for salvation. See Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. John chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. And Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Salvation is a personal relationship with Christ. I mentioned earlier that saving faith cannot be mixed with human works. A person must receive Christ's salvation as a free gift, not as a reward for good works. If so, then Roman numeral 2. What is the place of works in the Christian life? What is the place of works in the Christian life? Does believing in Christ mean that I don't have to do any works in the Christian life? What is the place of works? Again, we'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. But this time we will examine verse 10 as well. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to live obedient, holy lives, but this comes after salvation. Good works are the product and fruit of salvation, not the way of salvation. Good works are produced in the believer by the Holy Spirit. In the epistle to the Ephesians, there are nearly 90 commandments that the believer is to obey. These include being humble, Ephesians 4:1, long-suffering, Ephesians 4:1 again, putting away lying, Ephesians 4:25, putting away anger, Ephesians 4:26, not stealing, Ephesians 4:28, not speaking any corrupt thing, Ephesians 4:29, being kind, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving, Ephesians 4:32 again, putting away fornication and uncleanness, Ephesians 5:3, having no fellowship with the works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11, redeeming the time, Ephesians 5:16, understanding God's will, Ephesians 5:17, not being drunk, Ephesians 5:18, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, wives submitting to their husbands, Ephesians 5:22, husbands loving their wives, Ephesians 5:25, children obeying their parents, Ephesians 6:1-3, fathers training their children and not provoking them to wrath, Ephesians 6:4. Servants being obedient to their masters, Ephesians 6:5. And masters treating their servants justly, Ephesians 6:9. These are some of the works that God wants the believer to obey. But we cannot do these things first until we are saved. We must be reconciled to God through Jesus. forgiven of our sins, and indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Only then can we serve God acceptably. Lastly, Roman numeral 3. Is salvation a religious process? Is salvation a religious process? A popular false teaching today is the teaching that salvation is a process. But the Bible says it is a miraculous conversion experience. This was what Jesus taught. See Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and John chapter 3, verse 3. The new birth conversion is not a long process. It is a supernatural, life-changing event. And this happens when the sinner repents of his sin and puts his faith in Jesus as his only Savior. Coming to repentance and faith can be a process, but salvation itself is a birth and a conversion experience. This is what we see in the Bible. Those who were saved in the book of Acts were saved on the very day they received Christ. This includes the Jews who believed on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 39. Cornelius and his household, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. Lydia, Acts chapter 16, verses 14 to 15. And the Philippian jailer and his household, Acts chapter 16, verses 30 to 34. What is saving faith? What is the place of works in the Christian's life? Is salvation a religious process? See these chairs over here? These vacant chairs? You see these vacant chairs sitting here? I have not sat in it. Neither of them. Do you believe that these chairs would hold you up? Will the chairs hold you up? Yes? You think it would? You do. Well now, how would you prove to me you believe that the chairs will hold you up? How would you prove to me that these chairs would hold you up? Go sit in them. Right? You just go and sit in them. Okay. I thought you might say that. Well, that makes sense to me. And that proves to me that it will hold you up. Well, friends, you know what? That is what saving faith is. That is the kind of faith you have to have when you believe in Jesus Christ. You got to sit down in Him with your soul and relax in Him. That is what you got to do with Jesus Christ. When you sit down in these chairs, you relax all of your weight totally to that chair. And you got to trust in the work that Jesus Christ has done. Trust in that He died for your sins. We take similar steps of trust daily, even hourly. Believing the chair will support us, we set our weight on it. believing water will hydrate, we drink it. Trusting the work of the light switch, we flip it. We have faith in the doorknob, so we turn it. We trust electrical power we cannot see to do work. Jesus invites us to do the same with him. We sit down in Jesus just like you will sit down in the chair. Are you relaxing all of your weight totally to the chair? Or are you sitting uneasily on the edge of the chair, not trusting that the chair will hold you up? As Charles Spurgeon puts it another way, lean with all your weight upon Christ. Will you stand together with me, please? Heads bowed and nobody looking around. Nobody moving around. Saving faith is inseparable from repentance. I'd like to ask you another question. Have you repented of your sins and believed in Christ? Have you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ? Or did you hear a hasty gospel presentation and prayed the sinner's prayer without knowing the need for repentance? You know what? Countless people have repented and believed. Countless people have repented and believed, and they would go to heaven. God awaits your prayer to make right with him. If you haven't, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will not perish. You will have life, eternal life, forever. As Sister Eileen begins to play a tune.